So, William, what are you going to ask me?
Yeah, everybody who has sat here and had the mics opened and talked to you, I think, have always wondered what you are going to ask, because it's never predictable. It's always informed. And I think people appreciate that and in some ways are intimidated by it a bit. But before we get to that, it's your last week here. So let's dial it back 34 years.
Oh, my gosh.
You were coming out of the Forest Service at that time, right?
Yeah, I'd been a wilderness ranger.
And why did you end up at Montana Public Radio, KUFM at the time?
This is being in the right place at the right time story. Jill Hoyt was news director then, and she had a show where she focused on issues of the day, and one of the issues was mining in the wilderness. And that was an issue in the wilderness area I was working in. And so she had me on her program with a forest supervisor from the Kootenai Forest. And we talked about mining in the wilderness. And afterwards, Jill said to me, "Oh, you were so good. I wish we could hire you or something." And I said, "Well."
As a matter of fact,
because the job I had at that time, the funding had run out for it. And I was looking for a change and looking to move to Missoula. And
why radio? I mean, other than it's just a job, there must have been something intriguing.
I think the idea of being a journalist appealed to me at that time. I really was always interested in politics and interested in the world, and it seemed like it was going to be a natural fit, but I knew squat about radio and squat about journalism, actually, and I think in the beginning, frankly, I was pretty bad at it. Luckily, KUFM hung in there with me.
How has it changed over the years? I mean, if you look back, the issues are pretty much the same in many ways, aren't they?
They are. I think how they're debated and how the issues are dealt with have changed a lot, not necessarily for the better. I think in the beginning that the issues, as you say, are often the same. I mean, it's jobs versus the environment. It's what should Montana do to be economically, have an economically bright future? How do you preserve what everyone comes to Montana for? That will always be an issue in this state. But how it's debated has changed, and I think the level of debate, frankly, has gotten less than it should be. I hope that what I've done over the years is try to add to that debate and raise the level of it and show the complexity of the issues, that they aren't black and white, and that the vast majority of people on all sides of the issue are good-hearted people who care about the state deeply.
And I believe that too, but why do you think it has gone to such partisanship and such extremes of people talking past each other or yelling at each other?
It's hard to know for sure, but I think a part of it is that we are so bombarded with information now, and we have access to so many things that the complexity gets diluted and the rhetoric gets escalated because there's so many more forums for people to vent and to find each other of like mind and not listen to someone who might not have the same opinion but might have something that would be interesting to listen to. And it just has gotten more fuel to the fire, I think, of people who think alike, and then they sort of feed on somebody comes up with some sort of notion about something and it takes hold, and it's not a correct notion necessarily, but people take hold of it and they can't let go of it. I think part of it is that.
When people hear something that is balanced, that has both those voices in it, they no longer identify in any way with a side different from their own, because Because people don't want to do the work?
I think it is partly that you do have to make an effort. It's not something that, you know, you shouldn't leave it up to other people to tell you what to think, number one. But it's easier to do that, to have somebody say, vote this way, do this, and then go off and do it. It's much harder to think about what are the nuances of this issue and what does it mean, not for the short term, but for the long-term future. And to be able to look long-term, I think we're all, maybe it's partly that we're all into immediate gratification. And a lot of these issues mean you have to delay gratification if you want to do the right thing. And that's hard. And maybe sacrifice something, which is even harder.
Right. And I think you have people who sit at this table with you. They no longer expect to be challenged by the media, and you are not intimidated by really anybody who sits at this table. What are you thinking when you're calling someone to task?
I'm thinking I'm doing my job. That's my job. That's what I'm paid to do. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's it should be their job to be challenged and be able to answer that challenge and articulate what they stand for.
Some of the messages that we've gotten from folks have been community leaders, politicians. And to a person, they have appreciated that straightforward, tough questioning, because I think they believe that it is parceled out equally to both sides. How do you balance that kind of exchange?
I look at their records. I look at what they voted for. I look at what they say, and I ask them about that. And whether they're a Democrat or Republican or a Libertarian or a Tea Party or whatever, I just look at what they have said in public, what they have done, and ask them about that. And sometimes when those things don't match, they probably think that I'm being intimidating in my questions, but I think I'm asking fair questions all the time and trying to think also what is best going to inform the audience about who this person is and what they stand for.
And beyond the politicians and those kind of guests, you have become best known in the last few years anyway for your in-depth interviews with the people who come through the university for the president's lectures or come to Missoula for any kind of public forums. The popularity of those, I think, comes from your research and your just sort of curious approach to them. How do you do your own research, your own interests, but make sure that it's going to be interesting to the people who are listening? It can be a very interior conversation, I would think, but
it
they
is,
aren't.
And I'm not sure I've hit it every time either, yeah, as I should have, but it's been so great in this job to meet so many interesting, smart, diverse people and to get to sit down with them and ask them anything I want. I mean, I'm well aware of what a privilege that has been, and I've tried not to abuse that privilege and have it be just, well, what does Sally Mock want to know? But I do try to think, what would the audience most like to glean from this person and what they have written about or lectured about or done in their life, and whether it's an artist or a politician or an academic who has expertise in some area, try to think what the audience would most like to know about what they've done. And they've usually done such interesting things or written such interesting things or painted something beautiful that it's just easy enough to ask them about that.
When you go out to dinner, do you just ask people questions all the time?
My friends would some say that I interview them sometimes a little too much, probably. It's a habit hard to break.
During Public Radio Week, we played some of your favorite moments over the years. What are a couple of the outstanding moments you've had as a
That's
journalist?
That's probably the question I get asked the most, yeah, is what was your favorite interview? And because I've done thousands, mm-hmm, it's impossible to narrow it down to even a handful. But, you know, honestly, William, one of the interviews I still think about to this day was early in my career here. A Japanese woman came through who had survived Hiroshima and lost all her family, and herself had leukemia. And she was now a peace activist, logically. And she had absolutely no bitterness in her about that. And I remember when she walked out, I thought, that's what grace looks like. And I'll never forget talking to somebody like that.
The ability to bring that story to others, I think, is the wonderful power of what we do in broadcasting. And you have been a model of that power. And I want to thank you for all those years of wonderful radio. And our listeners are going to miss you very much.
Well, thank you, William. And you've always stood behind me. And that was terribly important. Thank you.